taking the steps to go someplace can be a take steps of courage. You know, hopefully no one's ever thrown stones at you in a literal or a figurative sense. But, you know, most of us, if we live long enough, it happens. We seem to have those times in our lives when someone doesn't like what we're doing. And the question is, how willing are we to do whatever it takes to get out of that situation? How willing are we to abandon ship, so to speak, and go ahead and do those things that are necessary to hide from the stones, whether or not they're physical stones? Hopefully never that's the case, but sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? And sometimes words can hurt as much as physical objects, as stones. And how willing are we, how much do we treasure our lives? We treasure those things that we have, maybe our reputation. How much do we treasure those things to the point that we're willing to abandon and our beliefs and the things that we say we trust in to get out of those situations? I guess the real question is what exactly makes a hero? What makes a hero? You know, I've thought about this all week long, and I've thought about the fact that really being a hero is something, it's a combination of things, of course. It's a combination of those internal things, a willingness to act upon our conscience. There's those internal decisions that are made, the things that happen, and we decide to act in a particular way. But then there's also that external, isn't it? There's the thing that causes the crisis and circumstances which require the exercise of what's happening internally. Because really, you know, we can be heroic, and in fact, you know, it's kind of easy sometimes to say, well, I stand on this and I stand on that. But then the circumstances come and someone picks up a rock. And then comes the question of whether or not we really stand on those things, or whether or not that is something verbal, but not really internal. It's not really something that is built into who we are as a person. And it's in those circumstances, it's in that external circumstance, where suddenly we find out whether or not we are truly heroic or not. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, a hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is brave 5 minutes longer. A lot of truth to that, right? Bravery is simply, or being a hero is simply holding on longer. It is simply being willing and having what it takes internally to set those times through, no matter what comes. You know, I think we're weaker today as a people, not physically, obviously, but we've lost the ability to look for heroes in places that count. Instead, we look for celebrity. Have you noticed that? We look for celebrity. Celebrity, though, is fickle. One day you're a celebrity, you're famous, and everybody loves you, and you can do no wrong, and the next moment you've lost that. Walter Truett Anderson says, today our leaders are stars, not heroes. Stars are surrounded by crowds. Heroes walk alone. Stars consult focus groups. Heroes consult their conscience. So I think this study that we do over the summer, and we did it last year where we did a summer study on Old Testament heroes, and this summer, I want us to go through and look at some of the heroes of the New Testament. But I think the study of heroes is important, because the fact is that when we look into the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, what we see most are, we see no stars. We see no celebrities. We see heroes. Heroes who struggle, heroes who walk alone, heroes who are sometimes conflicted, and yet they're normal people who do supernatural things, not in terms of any kind of supernatural power, but they are filled with the Spirit of God in such a way that God uses them in supernatural ways. And God gives them the courage to do heroic things. God's calling is not to be a superhuman. It is to be truly human. That is, to live in a way that we reflect God's design for humanity. And today, more than any other time, I think, we need heroes. We need normal people, people like you and people like me, who will stand up and do what God called us to do. People who are willing to be truly human. Not because we are something special, rather because we are normal. But we are normal people who have been called by God to live in a special way. And so the question as we start this new series on New Testament heroes, the real question is, are you willing? Are we willing to be those kind of people? Now, example we're going to have over the next several weeks, we're going to have example after example of those kind of people, of those normal people who live in those supernatural ways or God uses them in supernatural ways. But the question really is are we willing to do more than just hear? Because hearing, while good, changes no one's life unless we're willing to put it into action at whatever cost. So this morning, I want us to turn our attention to the 6th chapter of Acts, where we're introduced to a man named Stephen. Stephen was a Greek-speaking Jew and one of the first chosen, the 7 deacons who were chosen first. Now, the circumstance was this, basically, and we've talked about this before, but as this new church began to develop in Jerusalem, they encountered a problem. And that problem simply was they had too many widows and those who were needy that the disciples couldn't feed them all. Evidently, that was a part of what they were doing as a part of their normal service and ministry, as they were feeding those who were poor, who were impoverished, and who had too little food. And so the disciples initially were the ones who were taking that food. And it grew to the point where there were so many of them that the disciples could no longer keep up. And so what they did is they called 7 deacons. And one of these deacons was this man named Stephen. And I think it's interesting that the first deacon ministry was basically a Meals on Wheels program. But I think it's even more wonderful that one of the ministries that our deacons in this church and others who are not deacons, many people actually participate in, is on Sunday night feeding those who are homeless. What a reflection on the part of our deacons and the people in this church of that same heartbeat that was the heartbeat of God in calling those first 7 servants and ministers. And so these first 7 brought that food and took food to those who were widows and who didn't have enough to eat. And again, today we see that very same kind of thing happen. But, you know, the amazing thing and what God does, God uses our service not only to change the lives of others, but to change us. If you want to see someone who is growing, if you want to see someone who is developing in their faith, and I've had people over the years come to me and say, I really want to grow in my faith. And a lot of times what they mean is, would you, and even ask sometimes, would you do a study with me? And you know, I love doing studies. I love doing Bible studies. Bible studies are wonderful, and I enjoy doing that and digging through the Word and seeing how God is going to use that in our lives is a great thing. But the truth of the matter is if you want to grow in your faith, serve. If you want to grow as a follower of Christ, serve. Do something. Because in doing something, we see God work in us and through us in ways that we could not expect and we will never see unless we serve. I don't care how much you study the Bible. Unless you are willing to serve, you will never grow like you need to grow, ever. And so Stephen starts serving And let's see what happens. Acts 6, verses 8 through 15. It begins with by saying, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Now, in this very first thing, in this instance, we see, as Stephen began to serve, we see him develop, we see him grow. And the very first thing we read in verse 8 is that he is full of grace and power and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And in this passage, we see that Stephen's character was revealed. That who he is, who God has developed him to be, is revealed. Notice that last verse, gazing at him, all who were in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, whenever we think about that, remember that he is before the council, who have literally power over his life and, in this case, his death. In verses 8 to 10, we find several descriptors of Stephen's character. He is standing tall before them because he is full of grace. Now, when the Bible uses, in this particular case, grace about saying that someone is full of grace, what it really means is a spiritual charm. That is, disarming nature. When people would talk to Stephen, they would find that he shared spiritual things in such a way that was not argumentative, but was full of grace. You know, what we need are we need people who are heroes, who will speak the word of God in such a way that it is loving and not hurtful. We need people who use Scripture as a tool of healing, not as a hammer. And so Stephen was full of grace, but not only that, he was full of power. Now, if you want to follow God and encounter power, give him your life and be willing to serve him no matter where he calls. He will do things that only he can do. It is not our power. We don't possess it. We don't own it. It is his power, but we have the ability to see him work in miraculous ways when we serve him. Not only that, but Stephen was full of wisdom. Now, that word wisdom only occurs 4 times in the book of Acts. And it means to approach life in a way that results from living in covenant with God. Now, what does that mean? It means that we see life from God's perspective. We see things from God's perspective. It is wisdom that we see things not through our own perspective, not through the eyes of the desire to gain wealth or gain power from an earthly standpoint, but rather we have the wisdom to see what is of true value. What really is worth it? What are we living for? What is of eternal value? Just like we were talking about with little Edward, that we are guardians of that which is of true value. And then also in verse 10, we're told that he's full of the Spirit. And the Spirit leads our thoughts. He leads our words. He communicates in ways that go beyond our knowledge. And so this is a characterization of Stephen. And in spite of that, maybe because of that, we see that he encounters opposition. You know, it's been said that if you never encounter opposition, you're probably not any danger to Satan. That's true. If we never encounter any opposition, it's probably because we're of no danger. We don't do anything that really makes an eternal difference. So the question is, would we rather get through life in peace or be gracious, be full of wisdom, serve God with power, but risk opposition. So Stephen risks opposition, and it says that there were these men who came from the synagogue of the freedmen. Now, there were probably between 390 and 480 synagogues in Jerusalem at this time. A lot. And one of those was the synagogue of the freedmen, which probably were the descendants of those who were taken prisoner by the Romans and then had been set free and actually given their citizenship. And it was a Greek-speaking synagogue, and it may have even been the synagogue where he belonged before he came to Christ. And so they are frustrated that they cannot stand up to the wisdom that God has given and to Stephen as he goes through. And so because they can't argue, they accuse. Have you ever been unrighteously accused? Someone accuses you of something and you didn't do it. If you have, you know that feeling, that sense of righteous indignation. I didn't do this. This is wrong. This is false. And there is that temptation to then, in that moment, take things into our own hand and say, I'm going to set this straight. And use those methods that are not the very things that characterize the person that God desires for us to be. Stephen allows himself to be drugged before the council. And it's important what they accuse him of, because the Romans had taken away the ability of the Jews to kill anyone, to use that the death penalty for any reason. And it's the reason, by the way, that Jesus died on a Roman cross, because only the Romans could kill Jesus. But they kept one area where they retained the right to give capital punishment. And that was the death penalty. And according to F.F. Bruce, that exception was by word or deed to harm the temple. And so the accusations against Stephen are designed in such a way that they can give him the death penalty. And so these lies. And so now Stephen is standing tall, but he is standing alone. And you know, sometimes we may stand alone. Being a hero may call for us to stand alone. Stephen is called before the council, and he is taken so quickly, there's not a single person by his side, at least not visibly. But Christ is there standing with him. And in verse 15 it says, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, in that moment, how do you live? What do you do? Stephen stands alone before the council, and the real question is whether or not he will bow to the pressure and abandon the teaching of Jesus and come to back into the fold or not. And instead, Stephen, who's a layperson, he's a deacon, and he stands alone before the council and gives the longest sermon recorded in the book of Acts. Now, when you realize that a lot of the book of Acts is written about the Apostle Paul, that's quite a feat. But it's longer than anything that Paul preaches. And in his sermon, Stephen uses scripture to make three points. One is that God doesn't just work among one people and in one place. Praise God. And secondly, he says acceptable worship isn't just found in the temple in Jerusalem. Acceptable worship is wherever God's people bow their hearts. And then third point was that the Jewish people have a pattern of rejecting those who God sends to them. And when this happens, when he preaches this sermon, then we see what happens in Acts 7, verses 54 through 60. And that says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And the truth is, standing tall may involve suffering. I hope none of us ever have a physical stone thrown at us. But if we do, will what's be written on that stone, the prayer of Stephen, "Father, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them." Can we in grace, can we as modern day heroes, not because of anything special on us, but because the one who stands beside us is the one who died for us, can we, because of that, witness to Christ in a way that goes even so far as to be willing to suffer for the gospel? We may never have to. But the truth is, probably, if we are doing what we have been called to do, probably at some point we will also be called to suffer. We need heroes. We need those who will stand up, who will stand alone, who will say what it is that God has called them to say, live out of the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and who will show the martyrdom of Stephen, first martyr in the New Testament church, led to the church being scattered, led to Saul, the man who's there and the garments are put at his feet, becomes the Apostle Paul, changed the world. A hero who died very young, just a deacon, servant. His death, his life and his death changed the world. Let's pray. Father,